Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're doing well. But the question of the moment is, James Ross, how you doing?
I am great.
That was Tony the Tiger.
I'm great.
Oh, man. Great?
I forgot all about Tony the Tiger. I literally...
Show him what you can do.
Forgot he existed until you just
the taste
said Tony
of
the Tiger.
Kellogg's Frosted
Isn't that
flakes?
Weird that, like, at our age, things just fall out of our
and
memory?
And you're like, I never would have thought about it again, but you said this.
Have you ever seen the movie Inside Out?
Yes.
To me, by the way... The best Pixar movie.
It is a great
made.
Movie.
Yeah, it made me cry.
It gets you in the heart.
It does. But
it's because
in
about
there,
emotions.
There's I forget what they call it, but it's basically like where memories like are gone.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I can't remember
a lot in there.
I can't remember.
We can't remember that. Either,
but I do. I do remember that I've seen this movie.
Things just change. I was just telling you a minute ago. I've lost some weight. You know, this year, but it's about 10 pounds, and all of it is from my elbows. And my knees, like
welcome to your 40s. Yeah,
like, I needed to go like midsection, and it's elbows and knees.
It just stays there. Yeah,
I remember somebody telling me about a guy. He was in his 40s at the point. We were in our 20s. He was like, he has old man elbows, and I was like, I didn't know what that was. And now I'm looking at these.
Yeah,
he's
like, yeah,
they can hurt.
Oh,
people.
Yeah, that's right. I notice on older men,
they're good at basketball.
It happens right here. Like I'm pointing to like my ears where you start to see all the folds and wrinkles.
You see it on me.
Thanks a lot. I'm like. No, you don't. No,
it's
like squishing
like
my face.
Your ears are trying to fall off.
They really are. Yeah, thankfully, I have really big ears, and they're only going to get bigger because that's what happens. Your nose
your ears
and
get bigger?
Your ears and your nose just get bigger.
Oh, which we're in deep trouble.
You don't have big ears, though.
I do.
I have big ears, and they're just going to get bigger.
My eyes are
all
like,
the better to hear you.
Eventually,
with.
My eyelids or whatever this is. Brow is just gonna, I'm not gonna be able to see
my ledge above my eyes. I can, like, it's gonna become a shelf where I can place things on.
Gosh, we're so vain.
We've just aired all of our physical insecurities we look in the mirror and think about. Listen, every guy does that, so guys pretend that they don't do that, but you know, guys do that.
We do,
so.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you doing any like anti-aging stuff, Justin?
No, I'm just exercising. Like, yeah, I mean, and then I put lotion on at night, but it's not like special. It's just trying to stay moisturized.
Well, that's good. Yeah, maybe my ashy elbows would look better if I put lotion. Christy bought me a bunch of anti-wrinkle stuff when I turned 40.
Yeah.
And I have used it about once a month.
There you
so
go.
I don't think that
that's not
achieves
that
its designed that, purposes.
No.
And
that's
I right. love the sun, but then every year I look 7 years older after summer's over.
Yeah.
From the wrinkles.
You know what? We here in the Panhandle, like, we just live in the sun, so we're going to look old.
You should get a bumper sticker that says, we live in the sun.
We live in the sun.
S-O-N. Yes.
That's right. Come
man,
on.
That's
bring
good.
It.
That was terrible.
I did a fist bump because I was like, my hand, my awkward angle.
Yeah. It's our old man elbows.
That's
we can't.
Right.
All right.
So this.
Speaking of friendship.
All right. Today we're talking about friends forever.
Did we do that song on Sunday?
No, but recently we did sing that song in a memorial service.
That's right.
Yep. So Philippians
chapter
2.
Thanks for saving me from making a joke about it.
There you go. That's right. Just my job. So Philippians chapter 2, following up from this past Sunday about friendship, we looked at this passage in chapter 2, but verses 25 through the end.
One of your favorite Bible characters.
About Epaphroditus. Everyone's favorite. There's lots of.
How many Reformed people named their kid that?
Probably so good, but I was just about to say, E-Path. Like, that is a Bible name that people don't name their children.
They usually
after.
Go Old Testament, don't they?
Yeah, they're just a little more pronounceable.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hebrew names, a little more translated into English, better
you could
than
go
the,
Odite for sure.
That would be a terrible. That'd okay. be terrible. So, Paul's writing, he says,
Rod,
I thought it,
there's Rod in there.
Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that Epaphroditus is Rod short for Epaphroditus.
Yeah. Rod. I don't know.
Anyway, keep going.
So,
my bad.
Paul writes, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill near to death, but God had mercy on him and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So way to go, Epaphroditus. You are the man, Epaphroditus. So
pretty impressive little
I mean,
bio
I feel
there.
Like Well, I think that Paul is not known for mincing words.
True.
And so if Paul is writing that much about somebody positively, they must be great, or must have really been used by God. So, and this past Sunday, you talked about that, and really that the friendship that they have, and Paul sending him, and what we should do for our most meaningful friends. And you said three points, like a good Baptist preacher.
I had like points before that. So
that's right.
That's me. I'm like, I have 2 3-point sermons in one sermon.
So
sorry, guys.
We're going to talk about these. Justin. How do we? One, honor them, imitate them, and send them. So let's talk about these.
Yeah, because I didn't have the time to, you know, fully flesh that out. So can we first start? And I think I hit on this briefly, but like honor culture, like can be negative, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely. I'm honoring you, so I get something. I want to be associated with you, so I'm honoring you.
Yeah.
It's and like people, like pastors. Like pastors do this on Twitter a lot or on Facebook. They're like, shout out to my boy so-and-so. I'm like, you like met one time at a conference, but you're like just retweeting it because you want to be associated with
them.
So when you
guest,
fake honor.
When you're a guest preacher, like at a church, or they should in some way try to like be like, something about me, like just being real, like because I'm the pastor. But I shouldn't like be asking you guys to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I do feel like today, like you might go to a church and be like, hey, make sure you honor our pastor. Like, make sure. And it's like, that's.
Yeah.
It should just be happening because people love Jesus. Like, I should be honoring our staff, but our staff shouldn't be like, hey, you haven't mentioned us. You know what I mean? Like, it's just weird.
It should just be a natural rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think the more you are in a position of leadership, the more important it is for you to honor others because as a position.
Give honor where honor's due. That's what the Bible says, man.
Yeah, it's true. It's like it's, a command. But I think the more you rise in leadership or the more responsibility you have, the more credit people will give you for things that you didn't really necessarily do, but people you are overseeing, or maybe you spoke into it. So it's just important that we give honor to those we're responsible for, but for also those who have poured into us, I think is a great way to say that. So give honor because no one gets to where they are without others.
So, you know, in the case of Epaphroditus, he's not probably a pastor, you know, he's not an ordained man.
Just a brother and fellow worker.
And so as he goes back to the Philippian church, I think Paul is trying to say like, this dude really risked his life for you, for the gospel. Like he deserves honor. You know, Paul's writing that. And I think when we begin to really be those kind of people who see that, it does something in us where we're able to see the work of God. I think we tend in our culture to be very individualistic and, you know, I've shared before, like when I came to this church, probably, so hear me out here. Probably every week I would be in tears because of the encouragement that I was receiving from members of this church about preaching, et cetera. Coming from the previous church I was at, which was a great church, but it was full of young people. And coming here, you had just a lot more secure, older people who had gotten to the point of maturity that they feel like we need to honor when we need to honor people. And I was like, truly in my previous church, like, not that I doubted myself, but I'm like, I didn't really hear that ever. Right.
You're like, am I doing?
Yeah. And again, it was because people. And some of those people now, like, have matured, and they even some of them have reached out to me to tell me thank you. And like, I would just say, maybe I didn't do that either the way I should there, you know. And I just think there's something about maturing in the faith and seeing God work in other people that it makes you want to honor others. Did I make sense in all that?
Sense. Yeah, absolutely. It's part of maturing is that you realize like we. Just like the Bible says, you show honor where honor's due. And I think giving credit, just saying thank you to people
and really
just being grateful, recognizing that so many people pour out, so many people give of themselves and not taking credit for things that aren't of you, but giving the credit away. That's what you do. And I think in our friendships, in our relationships, we do that. We should be striving to do that. Mm-hmm. So, second point.
It teaches people stuff.
It does. Yeah. Imitate. So, imitating people.
Yeah.
I would say you will become like the people you're around, like for better or for worse. So,
he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 13:20.
You say the scripture, and I just say like the Justin Message remix.
That's happened second twice in this. That's right. Yeah.
You know, take these principles and apply, but like you will become like the people you're around for your ruin or for your good. So, with those who are like pouring out, like we should say, hey, I want to be more like them. Yeah. And so I think if you think of your closest friends, the people you're closest to, you've probably become a little bit more like each other in some ways. Now, you're probably also pretty different in some ways.
Some of you look like your dogs.
Oh, man.
Have you ever seen that?
I have seen that. And did you have anybody in mind? You just want to?
No. I'm thinking of them now.
There are. I've seen the memes. Yes. So I think, yeah, imitate them. Just like, what is about them that?
You don't look like Ozzy at all.
No, he's got very dark curly hair, and I don't. So, I think what is it about them that that causes me to show them honor? I should imitate that. Like I should be more like that.
No, I mean absolutely. I think again, it's not like you know, imitate one person because Paul would say imitate me as I imitate Christ, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, if somebody's doing a lot of great stuff for Jesus, like it's not just honor them. It's like, and now do what they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, uniquely you, but
yeah,
trying to replicate that.
Yeah. And so I think collectively as a church, we try to do this. We certainly, you know, honor and imitate, like we can do better at this. Mm-hmm. But I think going back to the honor, it's like one of the, like as a pastor, like in your sermons or, you know, or even in meetings of leaders, we will give honor to some of our church members who've done things because one, we should, two, we also want people to imitate
that
of them, you know? And so that's why we do it. It's not because we need to earn points as a leader with someone, but it really is to show honor and to say, hey, these are people who are worthy of imitation. The last point is send them. So
that's the hardest one.
This is the hardest because when we get good friends, we want to keep them to ourselves. Yeah. And that really is hard. And I think maybe in our context for ministry, you know, having heavy military, you know, influence here, not just active duty, but retired, who people have moved a lot. And so they're used to that mindset. Except when it comes to ministry or when it comes to church. And I think we do have to be willing to let people go to what God has called them to do so that because it's about the kingdom.
Do you remember that like Looney Tunes? Like, I just want to hold you and squeeze you. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, it's Tiny Toon Adventures.
Tiny Toon Adventures.
I want to hug you and squeeze you and make you mine, all mine.
Yeah, and like that's how we are with our friendships. Right?
Absolutely, we are.
And there's some unhealthiness
like,
in that.
We don't want to share either. Like, yeah. No, you're my friend. Like, I can't, but man, that is so self-centered in that. And I think.
Paul sending Epaphroditus back to the Philippians. Yeah, like, they need you.
Yeah. And I think if we think like our lives are not our own and our friends' lives are not our own either. So we have to be willing to send. I think, one of the points like specifically in our context is like with life groups, like we have great friendships and sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to give that up, but so many other people need that. And we need people to be willing to step out of their life group, to multiply, to make more room for more people so they can experience those same, belonging relationships. You know, I think it's been a struggle of mine just because I think as a pastor too, when you get a good friend, it's rare.
It is rare.
Because of just the context of ministry and unfortunately, like the transactional nature of relationships in ministry. So you're like, man, no, this was like, but ultimately like every person is the Lord's. So we've got to just send. So what else would you say on that?
No, I mean, I think every person is the Lord's. I think that's important. And so like our number one goal is not what they can do for us. And I do feel like, so with like the older crowd, I think more people have this mentality of like, I want to have people at my funeral than I want people to live for eternal life, you know, like, and so we have a big life group, Sunday school class with the people with our people. And we feel secure by that. When we're going to be together in heaven, and then young people are more interested. Ooh, let's preach more people at how many they can get to their supper club than who's going to be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Ooh, you know what I mean?
Like though, like, And I mean, we just have to be willing to let go.
Yeah. I know.
And you've said this before, like if we're really that good of friends, like, if the friendship's really that deep, why can't we have different life groups and still stay in touch?
Right? Yeah. And like still hang out. Like, absolutely.
Like it, but it requires, it just requires intentionality at that point versus like created space, you know? Yeah. And so,
well, speaking of honor in that regard, hey, we have a couple in our church who just stepped out of their life, longtime life group, to help lead another group. And I think of Michael and Lyndon Hayes, and they love all the people in their previous life group. And their attitude literally was that, like, well, there's a need, we can fill this need, and we'll still hang out with our friends, but there's a need. And so, and that's, you know, that's a couple in their 70s saying that, who I think at that point, you know, you're set, you got your people, and I just appreciate that about them. And I think reflecting on this point, like, we not just have to be willing to send, but we as friends, like, have to be willing to be sent as well. And specifically, I think back to like our move to Niceville, like, not to recount the whole thing, but it was like, we didn't want to leave where we were, because there were great things going on and we had great friends.
You know, what was wild of my like good friends whenever I was feeling led here, with one exception, like they were like, they were like, even though I was like, they're going to be so upset with me. They were like, no, we see like how God can use you there. And like, we have to, like,
Absolutely.
And it was like, I did have one friend who I think they just had an unhealthy relationship with us. They ended up cutting us off because we left. Right. Yeah. And now, like, looking back, I'm like, I get what their reaction was, fleshly. Not,
right. Yeah.
But like, now there were people who I think our relationship was more transactional,
right,
who like were just upset that I left. But like some of those deep friendships who it hurt them that we left, we still are friends.
Yeah, like, exactly. Know. It was the same. It was like people were supportive. It hurt. But that's because it's like where you think about relationships, and like if you go back to the garden, like before the fall, I mean, we're created as eternal people. So we're created for eternal relationships.
Right. Yeah.
And when we have to say like death or a move, like we're not created for that, you know, like it's just that separation and severing in a relationship is not, that's part of the brokenness of, you know, the world. And so that's why it stings. That's why it hurts. But ultimately our hope is that it will be restored because of what Christ has done. So it was the same
Father sent the Son, bro,
to make it all reconciled. So, so be sent, send, and be willing to be sent. And I think too, like God was told us, and it's helped us understand in his word, like just because it's been great here doesn't mean I don't have great things ahead too.
That's right.
And so I think of what God's done and the friendships that we've maintained. And it does change things. You can't say, well, it does change things, but ultimately, like,
I wonder if people thought on Sunday I was about to say, like, I'm leaving. I'm not.
People were like,
by the way, if you feel led to leave right now, just I'm going to cut you.
Listen, when it was like my 5-year anniversary and you called me up, people literally were like, the way you said something, they were people came in and like, we thought he was about to say, I was like, that's not our plan right now.
Oops.
So that's okay.
Sorry, Justin.
That's how the rumor will get started. I'm ending it now. So, all right, there we go. Honor, imitate, send. Friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them.
That's true. A friend will not say never,
because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not
a
too long.
A friend won't say never.
To live.
I'm going to unpack that one on another podcast.
That is.
Is that an independent fundamental, like,
I don't know,
pastor's version of that? Okay.
I don't know. It's the Michael W. Smith version. All right, so question, here we go. Why don't we have mass baptism days? Oh, that's a that is a popular trend in churches right now, and I would say I shouldn't say it's a maybe It is a trend. All right. I think it's not new, but it is a trend, especially, and this is my hot take, especially because of social media. And
yeah,
it looks great. So I do understand, like, there is an immediacy to, like, you are saved. Hey, if you just save, let's do the baptism now. I understand that in principle. However, I think if you go back to the early church and how, like, they practice baptism, I think about, like, baptism in other countries right now where, cost. Like, and I think about the cost of baptism and, like, in South Asia where we, you know, like, that is – that usually comes – a little bit later in conversion, it's a, you're stepping away from the old life. I mean, early church Christians weren't baptized like through the catechism. Like there was, let's make sure they're legit. Like we don't want people just doing this because they think this is what's saving them. I think we don't do mass baptisms because we want to be sure that everyone who is being baptized confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, as their savior, and that we've had a conversation with them to make sure there is clarity about what they're doing. What we don't want to do, though it would make us look cool, and I'm not saying that every church that does mass baptisms has these motives, but what we don't want to do is do something that just makes us look cool because, man, we had 50 baptisms. Some of those, half those people were, have been baptized their second or third time. you know, like we're not doing that. So those are just a couple of the reasons that we don't do that. We want to have a conversation with people to make sure that people understand what they're doing, what baptism symbolizes, and that they have a, you know, not that they're perfect, not that everything in their life is resolved or, you know, been made tidy, but so there is like a confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, and there's at least the seedlings of fruit. What else would you add to that?
Yeah, you said a good bit there. I
that's your way of saying you talked a lot.
No. I don't know how much I have to add. So this is a tertiary issue.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Probably. Again, it's not necessarily wrong.
It's probably, yeah.
It can be wrong, but it's not inherently wrong.
I'm going to say why I've arrived at the position I've arrived at. Granted, you know, I feel like you guys would speak up if you feel I was an error here. But I do think that a lot of people want to get baptized for the wrong reasons in our culture. And I see like people baptizing people who are getting rededicated. That's not what baptism is. I mean, like in our town, like in our Okaloosa County, let's just say Okaloosa, Walton County. I see that. I see churches, they're baptizing people who want a fresh touch or fresh experience from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I see people baptizing people who like literally they're just asking like, hey, do you believe Jesus? Yeah. Okay. Like, well, what does that even mean really? Mm-hmm. And I think people are confused, and I think that there's necessary caution to say, hey, we need to make sure people understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
I will say that we still end up baptizing people who I don't think understood what they were doing. Mm. But I feel a stewardship that I'm leading people astray by causing them to think that baptism saved them.
Right.
And, but I tell you what, people would super get excited here and it would make us look good because we would baptize double what we baptize if we did this.
Yeah,
we would absolutely
feel good,
in our church.
Good.
Yeah. And it would be hypey and all that. And, you know, I just think a lot of the churches that are doing it, are indeed baptizing a lot of people who are not regenerate.
Yeah.
And we can hash that out all we want, but I think they know it. And let me just say that pastors, specifically of churches that are our size or bigger, are struggling with their ego and affirmation and SBC life. It's what makes you get invited to speak and get new positions and all that. And if you don't think that's not in play, you are mistaken. I'm not saying everybody's there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, I'll go back to like our convention, like, I don't think it's a matter of disfellowshipping, even though I think people are wrong.
Agreed.
So, I mean.
Agreed. You said that. It made me think. I have seen that recently from on social media. It was a church, and they're like, literally, it was like, this coming Sunday is a baptism Sunday, which is okay, that's not, it's not wrong to, like, I think put that out there and say, hey, we want, if you want to take that next step.
Yeah,
but yeah. Then it did say in the post, if you want to take that next step of faith or need a fresh touch or fresh encounter, no, like that. That's where I'm like, no. Right
no,
there.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
No. Bible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you want a fresh.
We have a guide yes. for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Spend some time in the Word, in worship.
I want to win everything.
Yeah.
I'm serious in my flesh. Like, if a lot of you listen to this have seen me coach sports. I
you wanna win.
Want to win.
You're a winner.
This is not about me and my desire to be successful. Yeah, it's about
you got to steward
people's
steward
souls.
Steward the word. Steward the word. All right. Any other questions? Woo. I don't think we have any other questions today. So there you go. We're going to go into Mount Rushmore. And since we're talking about honor, we're going to four things about church on Bayshore history and just show honor to things that have happened. So we're just going to make
forth?
This a collective.
Back
a collective
forth?
Forehead.
Oh.
Like,
oh, I have my own four.
Oh, well, I'll probably just be like, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You are more well versed in the history.
Well, I have the book.
Yes.
The church history book.
Yeah.
So anyway. So number one is I have to go with the dude in 1910.
I was going to. Yeah,
who came from
exactly.
Dafuniak Springs to plant a church in Boggy Bayou, which was a poor fishing village.
Isn't it funny that it literally in that book says like the destitute village of Boggy? Yeah. Like, and that was Dafuniak Springs, who now people in NYSA would be like, Dafuniak Springs.
Yeah.
Like,
it dude,
would
they're up and coming though. They got a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A and a Starbucks. And Dafuniak Springs. That's pretty awesome. So and founded this, wasn't the name of this church at the time, First Baptist Church, but founded.
So I'll tag on to that one then. This is still number one.
Go ahead.
And the fact that the church was named Damascus Road Baptist Church at Boggy Bayou, because when we felt like, hey, we need to change this church name, I was able to say, that wasn't the first time.
We've changed the name before.
We haven't always been First Baptist.
Yeah. I wonder why it wasn't First Baptist when they, because it probably was the first one, because it was planted. I wonder why. Maybe that wasn't a thing.
I don't think they started. Yeah, that's a great question.
I don't know. Because there's other First Baptists older than 1910. So it was a thing.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Go ahead. What's number two?
Oh, so
I'm just going to be like, yeah, because they're probably going to be ones I would say. So I had two. I was prepared for two. So you go ahead.
Oh, okay. Now I got thrown off. Hold on. I'm
thinking
three. Okay. Number two would have to be the fact that this church built a skating rink.
Yeah.
To reach the youth of Niceville.
Yeah.
So, like,
if you don't know,
I feel
if you don't know,
like whatever
you need to know.
We do with the gym, because we're, you know, examining what we're going to do to reach youth, like, there's a history here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's awesome. This church, First Baptist Church, had a skating rink.
Yeah. That was a thing.
I mean,
listen,
right? Like,
the church I grew up in, I feel like this church and the church I grew up in had very similar, like, trajectories through that season.
Yeah.
We did not have a singing Christmas tree at the church I grew up in, but there was another church that did. But we built a gym when I was like in middle school and high school, and the floor they put in was specifically for basketball and roller skating.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday nights after youth, we could go check out roller skates and roller skate in the gym. That was kind of a Baptist-y. Maybe it wasn't just Baptist.
I didn't realize that.
It was a thing. It was
like
a thing.
Like in the 70s, 80s, right?
Yeah. Well, this would have been, 90s? This was 90s,
you guys were
early
90s. The
yeah,
you
we were. This
were
is late
times.
80s, early 90s.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely the roller skating rink. And there's some people here who I think broke some bones on that roller skating rink.
I'm sure.
Steve Renna is
Steve
very
Renna
glad we
do
not have
do
a roller
skating
rink
again.
Right now. So,
yeah.
All right, next.
So for number three in the church history, I'm going to have to go with the fact that Paul Sisk and crew had buses running
bus
back
ministry.
In the day when people would fill the buses up. Nowadays, they wouldn't. Now you don't just send your kid off on a bus
on
anymore.
On a bus to anywhere,
And there's probably a good reason for that. But and they would bring in like more kids than we have now to children's ministry.
They would just
go
get
them.
And they would, and just bring them into the church.
Yeah. I think that is pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's great. All right. Is your number four my number four or my second one?
Say your number four, because mine might be better.
I was going to kind of tie into where we were this past Sunday with previous leadership. Is that where you were going?
Yeah. I was going to talk about how in 1910, I mean, sorry, in 2010, the church celebrated the 100th year anniversary of this church. And as they did that, Pastor Mike McGue, really feeding a lot from Dennis Brown and what he'd been saying for a while, essentially told the church, like, hey, we're going to die. We're not going to keep having a history if we don't make intentional efforts to reach young families.
Right.
And so they began to really set forth on the vision to renovate the campus.
Yeah.
And that really, I'm telling you, because I get asked often about, like, how did you, because our church has doubled since, you know, we've been here, like, and we've reached a lot of young families and people are like, how? And I'm like, man, I got to tell you first before I say anything else. I think God has brought some people in who have the tools, but the soil was ripe.
That's right.
Because of what God had been doing through their leadership. And not just them. I mean, Roger Barrett was involved. Steve Ferris was involved. Bill Wise was involved. I mean, a lot of people.
So many people. Yes, yeah. I agree 100%. And I think it goes back to we're honoring. And those are all people that we want to honor and imitate and send. You know, like we recognize, like, what I love about this church is, what we're doing now and asking questions of, like, how do we continue to reach people is they're the same questions that this church has been asking for over 100 years, you know,
statement.
And I think without, you know, in the recent history, where we are now is very, very much the result of people in this church who've been here a long time, who have said, Lord, this is your church, and what do we need to do? I think of, I mean, like you said, Pastor Mike, Dennis, specifically, and then the members of the church who were a part of that, what humility and grace they showed, and wisdom to say, hey, we've got to do something, and we got to figure out what that is, and brought the church into that, and really, I think the church is much stronger because of that, and God gets the glory, and they get well-deserved credit. So
they do.
Yeah. So
Amen.
There you go. What's great about all those things that they all reflect the heart of this church.
You know what might be the most significant event in this church's history, though?
I don't know what you're about to say.
When we decided to do Boggy Talk.
Oh, yeah. just reaching.
I mean, the world will never be the same.
You didn't mention the purple carpet. You didn't mention the purple carpet becoming green carpet because that was a better
The clown
choice.
Ministry, which I'm sure.
We had the church I grew up in, clown ministry, puppet ministry, all those things.
It just
wouldn't work now. So
I guess was that like in the days of like Bozo and Mr. Rogers?
Yeah. I guess it's kind of fallen on that. I mean, we did hold like productions with puppets, like for VBS, like a whole Noah's Ark skit. And I mean, it's crazy. The things
like, was that like, where, like, I guess like the culture was just more easily entertained back then.
I guess. Yeah. But there
also,
wasn't
like,
as much.
How come people complain about lights in church, but you can do puppets?
Yeah.
I'm not understanding.
Yeah. Oh man. That's another episode. So on that note, hey, we thank you for tuning in. If you've got questions, please send them our way. We'd love to take a stab and try to answer them and make them a little more boggy.
We'd love to confuse you even more.
That's what we do. All right, thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.